So tonight will be I'm speaking the beginning part of this message, and then real burden will be released by Brother Mari in second part. But I have some feeling to have a little bit fellowship with you about what Lord has been speaking up to this point. For the sake of the some brothers, sisters, this is your first meeting. And also, always good to hear some important God speaking again and again. Last night, Lord really opened such a clear picture and even almost a governing vision from eternity past, eternity future. Do you remember what are the seven words here? We erased it based on Brother Marty's request because we fully believe everything is in your heart right now, at least in your smartphone picture. Okay? What is the first word?
Bible.
The second?
Bible.
Third?
Bible.
Four?
Christ.
Fifth?
Spirit.
Wow.
Body.
And then?
Jerusalem.
Very impressive. I need to give you A+ to all the brothers and sisters. Okay, you start with the Bible. Bible is God's word, speaking his heart's desire in the way of revelation. So in this Bible, we could see, last night we saw the triune God. According to his heart's desire, he had some very special purpose. To carry out his heart's desire, God made the economy, even called God's eternal plan. What was God's eternal plan? By taking Christ as the centrality and universality. Yet that Christ, by passing through the whole these processes, he became the Spirit as the reality of Christ, producing and building up the body as the line. Eventually, this body as the line will be consummating in the New Jerusalem as God's eternal unique goal. This is what Bible is talking about. This is what Lord spoke last night. This matter must be governing, controlling vision in our Christian life and the church life. So, Bible, let's repeat the seven word again. Bible, triune God, God, Christ, the Spirit, body, and New Jerusalem. I hope this word you can even repeat, speak, even proclaim anytime in any season. Even this, if you have this word in your dream, you have a very good dream. Yet, because of the fall of man, God created man to carry out his purpose. That is, God wants to express himself through man. And also, God wants to exercise his dominion through man. But what happened? Man fell. Seemingly or temporarily, God's purpose, God, either delay or damage. And then what happened? God decided to go through a wonderful process. So now you can see a little blurry. What is it here? God, through incarnation, God became a man, lived human life on the earth. How long? After that, where did he go? He went to the cross to do what? To die for our sins, to take care of all the negative things in the universe, and then he got buried. How many days?
3 days.
After 3 days, what happened to him?
Resurrected.
When he got resurrected, Christ became? And then he got ascended in ascension, and then in ascension, Christ was ready to dispense himself into whom? Into the spirit of man. This is a wonderful 1 minute gospel. I hope all you are able to speak. Actually, you can. Never think you can. You just need practice. Practice and practice. So that's why whole process of what God went through so that God can dispense himself into man's spirit. In that sense, man is the center of the universe. Man is the meaning of God's life. Without man, God cannot fulfill his purpose. Are you man? I mean, man, including man and woman. If you are man, God is very happy to see why God can accomplish his purpose through you. How? By dispensing himself into your spirit. Eventually, from spirit, he can spread into your soul. Eventually, he can transfigure your body. Your whole being will be the living expression of God, and through you, on your campus, God can exercise his dominion. Don't you think this is marvelous? You may not feel you're very that much special. I don't feel special myself. But you know what? God chose us. And God dispensed himself into you and me. Now we are God's expression. God can exercise his dominion through us. So that was the main point of last night. This morning, we also emphasize this particular matter. Can you repeat? God needs man for his purpose. And man needs Christ to accomplish his purpose. In other words, now, even though we are the center of the universe, we are the meaning of God's purpose, without Christ, we cannot accomplish God's purpose. That's why Christ is the meaning of our human life. But only good thing, if we as a vessel, we are capable. One thing, capable of doing one thing, of receiving Christ. Our receiving Christ is so important. Brothers and sisters, let's receive Christ every day, every moment. Breathe Christ, drink Christ, eat Christ, sing Christ, speak Christ to one another. When we are doing this, we receive Christ. But that Christ in us will become life, and even he will become our person. By taking Christ as life, even by living out Christ as our living person, now we are fulfilling God's eternal purpose in our daily living. So that was the main burden, last two messages. Tonight, we come to this matter of the church is expression of Christ. Can we read the title together? Okay, let's read. Church as the body. One, the church as the body of Christ is expression of Christ. Okay, the church as the body of Christ is the expression of Christ. Here, brothers and sisters, some of you may not be familiar with this expression, but it's very important. When we say the Christ, there are individual Christ and there is a corporate Christ. The church as the body of Christ is a corporate Christ. But Christ in the four gospels is talking about individual Christ. But that individual Christ passed through the processes and becoming the life-giving spirit. In a sense, he dispensed himself. God in Christ as the spirit dispensed himself. Produce what? Produce the church as the body of Christ. The body of Christ, we say the corporate Christ. I think that maybe this is a good right timing. I'd like to share a little bit. So that's my testimony related to this truth. I came into church and I heard about this expression, the church is the corporate Christ and the body of Christ, many, many times. But actually, it was a little bit hard to really understand what does that mean? Christ is Christ. And then we are just believers. But what do you mean Christ is, Christ as the head and church as the body of Christ? And actually church is the corporate Christ. And then the one brother shared about the 1 Corinthians chapter 12:12, the verse said, so is the Christ. Actually that footnote, if you have chance, we don't have time to read, but that footnote is the Christ actually composed of Christ as the head and the church as the body of Christ. But actually, you can never separate from the body from the head. Head and the body is one. So in other words, if you are really genuine body, that body is a living expression based on whatever head feel and think the head control. So this body is an expression of the head. In a sense, this whole body is a corporate expression of what's going on in our head. So when I heard the first time, I just couldn't understand that much. Until this brother gave this kind of illustration, which is I may want to use, maybe Dennis. I don't think Dennis will be offended by me. So, like this. Well, he said one time he illustrated in the church, but come on, it's okay. Relax, relax. I'm not gonna, you're bigger than me, so I cannot. And he said like, okay, what do you mean the church is a corporate expression of Christ? Actually, the corporate Christ. And this brother said, he said, hi, Dennis. And then, sorry, he just did it. He just kicked this brother like that. And then his whole body reacted, right? He didn't just react as a part of the thing. Actually, his whole thing is a move when someone is a kick like this. I'm sorry. I don't mean really kick.
Body's reacting.
Do you see? Actually, the body is composed of all the members of the body. And then all the members are connected by Christ himself.
Amen.
As life, as a living person.
Amen.
So the whole thing is one entity.
Amen.
And then when I saw the illustration, it just became a little more clear. What does that mean? Is a church as the body of Christ. On the one hand, is church is a corporate expression of Christ himself. On the other hand, actually church itself is a corporate Christ. Can I kick you one more time?
Sure.
Even before I kick you, he already avoided like this. Okay, thank you.
Why'd you kick me?
Yeah. Bible never said why I kick. Bible said, why do you persecute me but not kicking me? Okay. So this is a simple, but it's very important. Why? You think of all the train of thought, the message from the light. God wants to express himself through man. And exercise his dominion through man. But man fell. Eventually, what happened? Christ himself came and went through a process and dispensed himself. And then now, man can become, restore the function of expression and dominion. But that expression in us need to be expand, want to have a spreading. How we do that? Through the church, which is the body of Christ. So in a sense, the body of Christ is one corporate, definite expression of God himself, which is God's eternal purpose on the earth. God expressed himself through the church. God exercises dominion through the church. In a sense, if outline said is, we may say Christ is mysterious, but actually it's a church is the manifestation of Christ. Now people can see through all the members of the body. When anybody come in this room, if you enjoy Christ, take Christ as life, and living by Christ as a person, they cannot deny Christ is here. Because you are the corporate one expression and representation of Christ.
Amen.
You are included. You are part of the body of Christ. Okay, let's continue to read a little bit, and then I'm trying to finish in about 5 to 7 minutes, and I'll turn it over to Brother Marty, the main burden. Okay, let's read the brother, sisters A and brothers B. Sisters, are you ready? Go, A. So Christ is God made visible, okay? And the brothers be.
Although Christ is mysterious, the church is a manifestation of Christ.
Yes, Christ is mysterious, Christ is the expression of God, and the church is the expression of Christ. So through the church, people can see the manifestation of God himself. Okay, sisters, one. Good. Brothers, two.
When we see the church, we see Christ. When we come into the church, we come into Christ.
Amen.
When we contact the church, we contact Christ.
So now, you can see in this even short sentence that now, when people see the church, what happened? They see Christ. Because church is a corporate expression of Christ. Actually, corporate Christ. So in this sense, church cannot be a physical building. Church cannot be just certain human organization. Church is a living organism of a living Christ. When you touch the church, who do you touch? You touch Christ. When you enjoy the church, who do you enjoy? You enjoy Christ. Church and Christ and the church absolutely one. So if you really enjoy Christ in this gathering, when people walk in to see, what do you see? They see Christ. You are the corporate expression. Okay, three I will read. The church is the corporate body, which is Christ himself, is totality of all the saints with Christ added together. Here I have a little bit burden that is this. That's why so important for us to enjoy Christ. Especially brothers and sisters, when you come to the meeting with Christ. If you come to the meeting with yourself, we cannot call it the meeting as a part of the church. Because church is a simply corporate expression of Christ. So we need to exercise our spirit, enjoy Christ, and then come to the meeting, come to be with the saints, with whom? Christ. Because only Christ is what church is expressing and representing. Are you with Christ right now?
Amen.
If you don't feel like it, don't worry. You just turn to Lord Jesus. We turn to Christ. We come together with Christ. That's a practical expression of Christ himself. And you can see, I read that the church as the body of Christ, the enlargement of Christ, who is a mingling of God and man. So this is the main burden, is the word mingling. When God and man mingle together, there is a certain expression. That mingling actually itself is an expression of God and Christ himself. That's in our daily living, very important to enjoy Christ. What happens when you enjoy Christ? You are mingled with God and God is mingled with you. Actually, church is corporate expression of the mingling of God and man. Lord, mingle yourself with us today. Lord, even right now, even though you feel very tired all day staying here, you pray to Lord, mingle yourself with me. Lord, tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I'll be very half dead, half mind clear, mind is very, Lord, mingle yourself with me. Mingling is the way. Why? Mingling is the corporate Christ. Just pray to the Lord. How about you pray about a few seconds inward, right? Lord, mingle yourself with me. Mingling of God and man is the corporate Christ. When you mingle with God, you express God. When you mingle with God, you can represent God. Okay? And then let's read 1 and 2 together. 1. The nature of the church is God mingle with man and man mingle with God. We need to understand the meaning of divinity and humanity. Okay, 2, the church as the body of Christ is a group of redeemed and regenerate people and who allow God to mingle. Okay, now I think the saints have some understanding what mingling of God and man produces the corporate Christ, which is the body of Christ. But here, there's one particular word I want you to underline. That is, regenerate people who allow God. Now, I have a little feeling to fellowship with you about this matter, and I will sit down. This matter allow. God gave everything to us. God went through processes so that he's ready to mingle himself, dispense himself into us. And also God revealed such a high revelation and speaking to us. Now, I have one question. Are you allowing God to mingle himself with you? So this is seems very simple and practical, but actually is a very crucial question. God is ready. God processed. God just, everything is ready to go. Himself ready to be dispensed. And God is ready to show something. You will be enlargement or expansion of Christ as the body of Christ. But there's one particular question to you and to me tonight before I sit down. Do you allow God to mingle himself with you? Do you? This question, it sounds very philosophical, but it's very real. Many times, God knocking your heart. God give you some feeling. God wants to say something, but somehow door is closed. We may not allow him to do whatever he likes to do. You know, Ephesians chapter 3 said, strengthen us. Lord, Paul said we need to pray. Lord, strengthen us with your power through your spirit into our inner man so that Christ may make his home in our heart. That process of Christ making his home in our heart is actually mingling of God and man to produce the corporate expression of Christ. But now question is, are you allowing God to do so? So maybe this is a maybe appropriate time to have a little bit, some instant what happened was, recently, there was some brother we have been shepherding in the church, in Ohio. And we started to find out that something is not right. But we didn't know what was. So another serving brother and I, we finally had a chance. Hey brother, can we spend some time? We just sat down to talk. So we thought he was very much pursuing, reading the Bible, reading this fellowship. But one thing we find out, that he never opened his real condition to us until we sat down and have lunch together. He started to open his thought and everything. We realized he was far off from a lot of the truth and everything. And then the other brother and I, we scratched our heads. What happened? We thought he was very open and everything. And then in the conversation, he just talked to us. He said, well, brothers, certain thing I really didn't like, so I decided not to take it. So he has been selecting the truth, and he has certain thing he liked, he accept. Certain thing he didn't like, without saying anything, he just dismissed it very quietly. So result is his understanding about the Lord's leading and Lord's anointing has been very, very strange development. So brothers, sisters, that is a small, maybe extreme example, but I got some light from conversation with him. God wants to get inside of us about so many matters in many situations. Now, Lord has been asking you, actually has been asking me the same question. Do you allow me to get into your heart? Do you allow me to touch your mind a little bit? Do you allow me to mingle my mind with your mind? Are you open to receive so that my will becomes your will? Or you just keep it your own will? Never allow me to dispense my will into you. So now this word allow has been very crucial. So much sober, yet real. I hope, brothers and sisters, tonight, this will be my question to you. Do you allow God to mingle himself with you in everything in your life. God wants to be involved with your life. Yes, church is a corporate expression of Christ, but until Christ can make his home in your heart, in reality, he is not building up the body of Christ yet. But question is, he like to do, he is ready to shepherd, he is ready to renew, but do you allow him to come into your heart positively to make his home in your heart, negatively to touch your mind and emotion and will? Brothers and sisters, you don't need to be afraid of the Lord's coming into your heart. He is the most intimate, kindest, gentle. He just wants to make his home in your heart. May the Lord to shepherd you so you become willing to allow him to come into your heart, freely make his home in your heart. This will produce genuine, real, corporate expression of Christ. And through that condition, he can exercise his authority over many situations through his church, which is the body of Christ. May the Lord shepherd you. Are you willing?
Amen.
Are you willing to allow him to make his home?
Amen.
Best way to the Lord, I'm willing. You can just pray, Lord, tonight, especially before you go to bed, Lord, I am willing. Make your home in my heart. Come into my heart. Lord, renew my mind. Even touch my emotion and impart your will into me. Lord, I want you to make your home, not in a general, in a doctrinal way, make your home in my heart every day for your corporate expression and dominion. May the Lord shepherd you. Okay, I'm done.
How about we all pray that, Lord Jesus, make home in my heart. How about sisters? Brothers.
Lord Jesus, make home in my heart.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
My name's Marty, and I'm from Chicago. And it's good to be with you all. I really enjoyed all the prophesying here this morning. So rich, so good to hear everyone speak and minister your portion of Christ.
Amen.
So maybe we could start with a little, we'll start with a little test. Okay? I don't know if you're expecting this. You notice we erased the board, right? We did that for a reason. So how about, do y'all have a piece of paper? And do y'all have a pen? Okay? This, you don't have to hand this in. The diagram, you know, we had on the board, sometimes we call it the wire diagram because it looks like a wire. Okay, it goes different places. So I just want to see if you, I think we went over this, I don't know how many times already today, but I'd like to see, did you get it? Okay, sometimes we think we got it, but the way to tell if you really got it is to see if you can either speak it or write it. Okay, so how about this? Just take a minute by yourself. This is not a corporate effort. This is an individual test. Okay, no, we're not going to collect, but we might have your neighbor or you check each other's or something. Okay, see if you could draw the wire diagram. The wire diagram. The one we had on the board. The one we talked about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times today. Okay? You don't have to put in all the words. Just see if you can draw the diagram itself. Okay? We'll give you a minute. So you think about, if you want to share the 1 minute gospel, this is a really easy way. I've done this before. Sometimes, you know, these wire diagrams are in a gospel tract. Sometimes, maybe you forgot your tract. You can still share the gospel if you can draw. If you can draw the little wire diagram. Okay? So you can sit next to somebody and say, hey, let me show you something. Have you ever seen this? And then you just draw a little picture. Okay, one thing good about the wire diagram is it's pretty fast. Doesn't take too long. Okay. So, everybody got it done? Okay. Now maybe you can check your own. You can check with your neighbor. And we'll see. See how you did. Okay. I'll draw the one I usually draw. Okay, hopefully it looks like the one you just drew. That's mine. Okay? How does yours compare? Okay. What does this represent? Just God? The triune God. Okay? What does this line here represent? Incarnation. Is that God came out of eternity. He came into time. He joined himself to the human race. Right? God became a man. Right? The Bible says the Word became flesh. Amen. Incarnation. In. We all know what in means. Something came in. Right? Carne. How many speak Spanish? What does carne mean? Meat. Flesh. Spanish speaking brother took me one time to a restaurant. It's called Carnitas. It's a place where they serve a lot of good meat. Carne. Okay, we talk about don't be carnal. Don't be a carnal Christian. That's fleshly Christian. Okay? But the Bible says the Word became flesh. Flesh. Okay? That means the triune God became a man. Amen. What was this man's name?
Jesus.
Okay. Actually, you can share the 1 minute gospel really fast, or you can enrich it. You can go through every step. How do you know God is triune? Do you have one verse in the Bible that says God is triune? How do you know God became a man? Can you think of one verse in the Bible? Okay, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Okay, this man is named Jesus. How do you know his name is Jesus? Okay, so let me tell you a little story. The first time I heard the gospel, I was 18 years old. I was a freshman in a dormitory in college. And you know what happened? A brother who was a junior or senior, he came to me like this, with the Bible, and showed me verses from the Bible. This is what the Bible says. I thought, wow, nobody ever showed me what the Bible says. Okay? So, we should know the Bible. Right? There's a verse says his name shall be called Emmanuel. That's God with man. This person, Jesus, is a God-man. He's God manifested in the flesh. Okay? We're talking about mysteries this weekend. Man is a mystery. Who can know man? Then the Bible says, God is a mystery. Who knows God? God is mysterious. He's invisible. But he manifested himself in the flesh. Jesus is the embodiment of God in the flesh. Okay? So, says they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Okay? These are verses in the Bible. It's good to know. What does the Bible say? So you could draw a diagram and somebody say, I don't believe that. You say, it's based on the Bible. And they say, show me. Then you're stuck. Okay? Can you show them? Can you show them? Where does the Bible say God is triune? Where does it say he became a man? Where does it say his name is called Jesus? What if somebody said, I believe in other ways to God? This one verse the brother shared with me when I first got saved was John 14:6. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, the reality, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Okay? So, when people say, I think there's all kinds of ways to God. You got your way, I got my way. We say, well, I don't want to argue with you, but the Bible says, no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to God. Amen. Okay, then Jesus lived a human living. This can be very, very rich. This is very, very rich in the Bible. Okay, how do you know Jesus lived a normal human life? I love it. I love to read the Bible. Do you know there's verses in the Bible that says Jesus wept? There's a verse in the Bible that says he got weary. He got tired. That's a normal human life. He was thirsty. Okay? Jesus slept. Okay? Jesus walked on the earth. Okay? He did everything. The Bible says there's a verse, there's one verse that's really good. It says, he was like us in all respects. Except there was one thing that was different from him than from us. Do you know what it is? Maybe raise your hand if you know what it is. He says he was like us in all respects except one thing. Do you know what it is? Sister. Sin. Okay, did you know there was one man who lived on the earth? This is a great, great accomplishment. Okay, you can go to school and you can learn about all these great, and people have done very great things. Accomplished very great, maybe made new inventions, or had very great scientific breakthroughs, right? Discovered things, you know, done all kinds of great things. But whoever, think about it. Who has ever lived a human life on the earth and never sinned? Okay? How about you? Have you ever sinned? Have you ever sinned? Who here is a sinner? Please raise your hand. We got a couple that are not sinners? The Bible says, all have sinned. All of us. Every one of us. Okay? And in the world, there's some bad sinners and there's some good sinners. Okay? When I got saved, I was pretty good. Okay? But I was still a sinner. You can say, how do you reconcile that? Some people are good. Do you know any good people? I know some very good people. I'm sure you do also. There's good people in the world, but they're still sinners. And there's some really bad people in the world, and they're really bad sinners. But the Bible says we all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God, and that's why we needed the Lord Jesus to come to the cross. He died on the cross for what? The Bible tells us, you might think this is so simple. Come on, let's move on to something more important. There's nothing more important, right? God came into humanity. No one ever did that before. No one ever lived a life on the earth without sin, right? No one was ever qualified to accomplish redemption except this God-man, Jesus. Okay, Jesus went to the cross. And the Bible says, John 1:29, right? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay, who here in this room has ever had your sins taken away? Raise your hand. If your hand's not raised, you must not know the gospel. You must not know the truth. The Bible says your sins were taken away. How many know an unbeliever in the world? Anybody here have an unbelieving friend who has not yet received Christ? Anybody know someone like that? Okay, probably we all do. Okay, here's a question for you. Did Jesus die and take away his sins? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. The Bible says he died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So why do we preach the gospel? We want to tell people, your sins have already been forgiven. Right? Jesus already died for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to work to have your sins forgiven. Your sins were forgiven at the cross. This is the most basic, wonderful truth in the Bible, that our sins were forgiven by the Lord. He's the Lamb of God. Amen. He's our Redeemer. Right? He died for our sins. Okay, then what? There's one verse in 1 Corinthians 15. It says, this is the gospel, that Jesus died for our sins and was buried and raised from the dead. This is a simple gospel. It's the truth, right? He died for our sins. Then he was buried in the grave. But the Bible says death could not hold him, right? Death could not hold him. How many here have ever had, let's start with a pet. How many here have ever had a pet die? I had a pet when I was a boy. I had a pet die. And it's not easy to see your pet die. Guess what? He didn't come back. Right? Animals do not have resurrection life. How many here have ever had a relative die? Okay? Death is pretty harsh. Death is final. That's it. Death is separation. Okay, except there's one man. Death could not hold him, right? He broke through death.
Amen.
He raised from the dead.
Amen.
Right? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
Okay, these are such good verses to know. So one burden, we'll share more tomorrow. You think about it, college students, you need to know the Bible. Okay, you want to share the gospel, you need to know what the Bible says. You need to know what the gospel is. Okay, so you need to know some key verses. So it's good if we had some very key verses, like here's one. Maybe you could jot these down. John 1:14. Here's another one. John 1:29. Okay. This one here, Acts. I think it's 2:24. There's another one. John John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay, here's another one. We had John 6:14. Jesus said, I am the way, the reality, and the life. Jesus is the way. He's the way to God. Right? What is our way? How can we be brought to God? We have to come through Jesus. Jesus died. He opened up the way to God. He gave us access to God. Okay, He's the resurrection. He's the resurrection and the life. Okay, then what did He do? He rose. He rose from the dead. All right, and in resurrection, there's another key verse. 1 Corinthians 15:45. It says, the last Adam became the life-giving spirit. Okay, so we had one gospel track we used to use. The title was The Two Becomings of Christ. The Two Becomings of Christ. Who could tell me what they are? Two becomings. Okay, maybe somebody besides Michael. How about anybody else? Two becomings. Okay. Okay, first he became a man, or even more accurately, he became flesh. The Bible says the Word became flesh. That's the first becoming. God entered into humanity. He became a man. Okay, what's the second becoming? The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So here, God was not available. He was a mystery. He was invisible. He dwelled in unapproachable light. He was far from man. We were far from God. But He came down. And He joined Himself to the human race. And He lived among men. He became a man so He could be near to man. And those disciples, can you believe it? One of the disciples actually leaned on Jesus. So near, so close, so intimate, right? So they got to hear Him speak the words. Bible said He was a person full of grace, full of reality. Today, people talk about everything's fake. Fake means it's not real. Okay? But there's one person. He's full of reality. Amen. He's so genuine, so sincere, so pure, so righteous, so good, so holy. Right? It's the God-man, Jesus. Right? He came near to us. He became a man. Then He went to the cross. He wanted to make a way to bring us closer. How can man become close to God? We're sinners. Right? We're totally unrighteous, ungodly, unholy, right? Dirty, unclean. We're dwelled in darkness, in sin, in unrighteousness. But the Bible said He brought us near by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So, there's one verse. I love this verse. Ephesians 1, I think it's 13. It says, those who were far off, He brought near by the blood of Christ. Have you been brought near? We've all been brought near. We've been brought near by the blood. Right? Not by our works. Not by our effort. Not by our doings. We've been brought near by the blood. Right? So every day you wake up, you might feel like you're far off. You can say, Lord Jesus, thank You for becoming a man. Thank You for dying on my behalf. Thank You for shedding Your blood. Lord, I apply Your blood now. Wash me. Bring me near once again by the blood of Jesus. Okay. Then He rose. He died. He was buried. What did He do when He was buried? He buried all the things that are negative, everything contrary to God, everything apart from God. He buried it, right? There's one verse that says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your iniquities from you.
Amen.
That's pretty far. You'll never find them. Okay? Then he buried our sins in the depths of the sea. Okay? The Lord took away our sin.
Amen.
Right? And he buried everything negative. Okay? Then he rose from the dead. He's the last Adam. He not only became flesh, here he wanted to become more available. Not just to a few people who walked on the earth. He wanted to become available to all men, over all time, over all the earth. So he became the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Okay? He changed his form. He's no longer limited by time. Okay? Right now, we're in Toronto. Okay? I'm not from this city, from another city. Tonight, I'm not in that city. I'm in this city. Why? Because I'm finite. I only dwell in one body at one time in one place. Okay? Just like you. Okay? But the Lord, guess what? He's in Chicago tonight. He's also here. He's in Taipei. He's in Tokyo. He's in Moscow. He's all over this earth.
Amen.
He's available. He's the living, life-giving spirit.
Amen.
He's like the air. He's the breath. Okay, I know you all know this, but we just need to enjoy this.
Amen.
And we need to tell others about this.
Yeah.
Okay? The Lord became the spirit. Okay, when I was, before I was saved, I grew up in Catholicism. I could probably pass the test. There's only one God. He's triune. He's the Father, Son, and Spirit. I knew he became a man named Jesus. I knew he lived a human life. I knew he died on the cross for my sins. I knew he was buried. I knew he raised from the dead. But that's where it stopped, right there. I did not know he became the life-giving spirit. And that was a big, big loss. That was a big, big hole in the gospel. Why? Because if you don't have Christ as the life-giving spirit, then guess what? You miss this. What is this? This is the life-giving spirit coming into you, dispensing into you. Okay, there's another verse. How do you know? What if somebody asks you, where'd you get this? Who said God wants to come into man? In fact, where's Brother Michael, our theological student? He's watching the baby. Huh? Okay, you know what he told me last night? He has a theological professor who does not believe that God can come into man. Okay, he's a teacher of theology. Doesn't believe God can come into man. Okay, so let's say he was your professor and he challenged you. Who said God can come into man? Where does the Bible say that? Show me. Okay? I mean, most of the time people don't challenge like that. But they could ask you, or you could have a friend that say, I don't quite understand. You say God wants to come into me? How do you know God wants to come into you? Okay? Can anybody give me a verse? Okay, besides the serving ones? Anybody? Can anybody give me a verse? What is it? Okay, that's a great one. Okay, here's what happened. When the Lord raised from the dead, he came back to the disciples, and they were sitting around in an upper room. And it says, he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the holy breath. What is that? If you're out of breath and they take you to the hospital and they put a mask on your face and they just say, receive it. Receive the air. What does that mean? You're breathing it into you. Right? So the Lord said, receive the Holy Spirit, the Holy Breath. So that's a good one. John 20, 22. Here's one that brother share with me. Okay, I know this can be used in different ways. This brother said like this. Here's a verse. Revelation 3:20. You know what it says? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him and feast with him and he with me. What does that mean? If you open the door, just like we just prayed, Lord, I open the door. I allow you. Make home in my heart. Lord, come into me. Lord, I receive you. Revelation 3:20. Brother told me, the Lord is knocking. Do you hear the Lord's knocking? But you have to open the door. We should tell our friends, the Lord is knocking. Have you opened the door? When are you going to open the door? Just open the door. Allow him. Come into you. Be born of God. Receive him. Receive him as your life. Then, here's another verse. John 1:12. Actually, 11 and 12. It says, all things came into being through him. Right? The world was made by him. And the Lord came unto his own. That's the Jewish people. And it says, those who were his own would not receive him. But now, he says, but now as many as received him, to them he gives the authority to become the children of God. Okay? So, as many as receive him, to those they have authority to become the children of God. Okay.
One more.
Okay.
Colossians 1:27.
What does that say?
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Colossians 1:27.
Christ
says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. John 14. What does that say?
That day you will know that I am in my Father, you in me,
and I in you. Okay. So. Alright, I'm glad you all know some verses. But the college students, you noticed who answered all the questions around here was the older ones. Okay. So we need the college students need to know the Bible. How are you going to know the Bible? Andrew told us today. What's the very first step in knowing the Bible? Who remembers? He shared this morning. Come on.
Read
is the very first step. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Okay? If you're going to know some of these verses, you have to read them. Okay? Then it doesn't hurt to begin to memorize them. Pray over them. Study them. Speak them. Right? Get them into you. So that when you are... I've had this experience. You sit down with somebody, sit right next to somebody, and say, hey, let me show you something. Ten seconds. Okay? But, depends how long they'll sit there and listen to you. You can share 30-second gospel, 1-minute gospel, or you can share 30-minute gospel. You can share the riches. But guess what? You're not going to be able to share anything if you don't have anything. So you got to get the riches.
Amen.
Accumulate the riches.
Amen.
Okay. That's good, but that was just a pre-quiz. That's really not the message for tonight. Okay, I want to draw one more thing. Okay, if you notice, so far we talked about, I'll tell you what, look in, you still got your pen out? get your pen out. Open your songbook to song number one. Okay, take your pen. Verse 1. What do you think is the key word? Man, circle man. Verse 2. What is the key word? Christ. Okay? So in verse 1, man is the meaning of the universe. Verse 2, Christ is the meaning of human life. Verse 3, what's the key word? The church. Circle the word church. So you should have three words circled. Man, Christ, church. Okay, what is the church? The church is the expression of Christ on the earth today. Okay, now it's going to get more practical. Okay, in verse 4, what do you think the crucial word or two is? Local church. Okay, if you have the church without the local church, it's probably not too real. It's pretty abstract. Okay, you can say, the church is the expression of Christ. Where is it? Where is it? Show me. Okay? People can say, where is God? I've never seen God. We say, he's right here. He's manifested in the flesh, in the man Jesus. Then they say today, where is Christ? I've never seen him. We say, he's right here. He's in the church. The church is the expression of Christ. You want to see Christ? We should tell our friends. You want to see Christ? Come to the church. Come to the church. The church is the manifestation. The Bible says, great is the matter of godliness. The mystery of godliness. God is manifested in the flesh. Who's the flesh he's manifested in today? Not this one man, God-man Jesus. Now he's multiplied. He's expressed in the church, in the members of his body. We are the enlargement of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. We are the expression of Christ on the earth today. But people might say, that sounds nice, but where is it? Well, you say, come to the local church. Right? What does that mean? It means it's expressed. The body of Christ is expressed locally on the earth in the city where we live. Okay? Then tomorrow, what do you think the key word number 5 is? Okay? You can either circle the word do with a question mark. What shall we do? Okay? But you can't stop there. You got to circle the next word on the next line. Go! You have to go, and you have to tell. Okay, so that's our message. That's the message. Man is the meaning of the universe. Christ is the meaning of human life.
Amen.
Okay, I was created a man, just like you. But without Christ, I had no meaning. Okay, when I was 18 years old, I knew I was empty. Okay? I had lots of siblings. I'm one of 10 children. Okay? I have lots of family. And we weren't necessarily rich, but we did okay. My family was, we had things, but things don't satisfy. Okay? You can have material things. You can have cars, you can have clothes, you can have all kinds of gadgets, you can have all those things, but when it's all said and done, you're empty without Christ.
Amen.
Okay? Then you can go to school, and you can get education. And I did. I got a bachelor's, then I got a master's. Okay? Do you think a master's satisfies? It's necessary to get an education. We're not against education. We're for education. But To be honest, education is not the answer. Education does not satisfy. Only Christ satisfies.
Amen.
Right? Christ is the real treasure. When I was younger, okay, sometimes I like to just tell to you, it's history because you weren't born then, okay, but about 40 some years ago, believe it or not, I was your age, okay? I was 18, 19 years old. I was a college student. I was without God in the world. I was not satisfied. I was empty without God, okay? And I wasn't alone. There was a lot of young people at that time. And you know what happened? I'll give you a little history. Maybe you could tell me. You should know a little bit of history. I know you're all Canadian, but maybe you know some American history. What year was World War II? Who could tell me what year was World War II? You all know that. Or how about the span? 39 to 45. Okay. That was WW2. Okay. Do you know what happened after WW2? This is my father's generation. Okay, my father was in WW2. When they came home, do you know what happened? When they came home, listen, all these men came home. They were like 25 years old. They came home from the war. Okay? In the United States, I don't know if this happened in Canada. Sorry, I don't know Canadian history. I hardly know my own. After World War II, there was a boom in the United States. Okay, there was a baby boom for one thing, but there was also a big money boom. All these soldiers came home. You know what they did? They built houses. My father has told me the stories. You know what? He had some brothers. They all go build one of the brothers' houses, and then when they were done building that one, then they go build the other brothers' houses. And the government gave them some startup money and helped them get started. They gave themselves to fight the battle in the war. When they came home, they helped them get going, get jobs, get education, get school. So there was a boom, and there was also baby boom. Lots of kids were born during that time. Okay, but here's what happened. This is all during the 50s. How many are familiar with what happened in the 60s? During the 60s, all these baby boomer kids that were born, they all turned out to be teenagers. Okay? And 20-year-olds. And university students. Do you know the people that went to World War II, most of them never got too much education. If they got 1 or 2 years of college, that was pretty good. Okay? It was just the way it was. Most maybe had a high school diploma. That's it. Okay? But these kids, born during this time and living during this time, they had everything. Their parents were starting to make money. They had nice houses. They had cars. They had clothes. They had all kinds of things. Then these kids in the 60s came around, and you know what they said? Their previous generation couldn't believe it. Vanity. This is vanity. They said, who cares about all this money? Who cares about cars? Who cares about clothes? We don't care. Their parents couldn't believe it. Okay? I had a brother who was, right during this time, he was a senior in college. He decided he didn't care if he graduated or not. He was going to demonstrate on the campus against the university and maybe forfeit his college degree. Okay? Because he said, I don't care. Vanity. Okay? So the young people threw off all these things. Said it's vanity. Of course, Something else was starting to happen during this time. Who knows history? Vietnam War, another war. Okay, that was terrible. Okay. I'll give you a little history, personal history, sorry. I graduated from high school in 69. I had a few older siblings who were back, a little closer back here. They were all in rebellion against the government, against this, against that. Here I was. I'm going to school at 69, 70. That's me. Whoa. That I'm beginning to wonder. I also realized his vanity. These things are vanity. There's no reality. There's nothing of no real treasure. It's emptiness. But by the Lord's mercy, another brother in college shared the gospel with me and I got saved. And what a salvation, because everyone around me during that time was getting into immorality and drugs and rebellion and all kinds of things. And the Lord just called me out and saved me right during that time. Okay, so why am I telling this history? Okay, I want to tell you about what the Bible says. When God created man, you know, there's a verse, maybe you could look at it. You got your Bible? Genesis 1:26. Okay, this is another quiz question for you. Okay, who's got Genesis 1:26? You got your Bible? Okay, what David shared last night. We need to bring Bibles to the church meetings. We're a people centered on the Bible. We need a Bible. Okay, who's got it? Whoever has it, read up to the word dominion in Genesis 1:26. Stop at dominion. Ready? Go.
And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion.
Okay, God said, let us make man. Okay, here's a little English question. Is man singular or plural? Singular. At least when I went to school. If you were saying plural man, what would you say?
Men.
Men, M-E-N. But God said, let us make man, M-A-N. Okay. Is that important? Yes. Now, look at the next part of that verse. It says, God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And then it says, let them. Is them singular or plural? Okay, he's equating, let us make man, and let them. So, this is why we need not only to read the Bible, but study the Bible. Okay, so did God create one man, or did he create them? Who can answer? Okay, we just say what the Bible says. God said, let us make man. And then he said, let them. So what is it? It shows that the man that God created was what we would call corporate man. Okay, them. So it's the same. Okay, God created man in his image and let them have dominion. So, in God's purpose in creation, he created man in a corporate way. So what does that tell you? let's say this is created man. Man has a desire to be with others. Okay? I have a couple little grandchildren. My one daughter and her family just moved from one location to another. You know who that's hard on? The little children. Why? It's because they have friends. They're corporate. They have friends in their neighborhood. Then you move to another neighborhood. Where's their friends? Okay, they have to make new friends. But what does that show? Even from a very young age, there's a desire in created man for a community kind of life, a communal life, right? Man desires to be with others. Man is corporate. God created a man as them. We are a corporate man. And man, today, you think about it. How many of you are at a university or college? Raise your hand. How many of you at your school has a lot of clubs? Raise your hand. How many of you belong to a club? Okay, not too many. But actually, you wouldn't believe, school where I'm at, oh my goodness, they got so many clubs, it's unbelievable. And they really push the students, get into all the clubs. Okay? Well, it's kind of normal to want to associate with others. Okay? Whether it's your family, whether it's a club, whether it's any kind of neighborhood group, political group, all kinds of racial groups, cultural groups, all kinds of groups, sport groups. Okay. Now, why did God make us this way? He created us in this way because He desires a corporate expression. He wants a corporate expression of Himself. So when we talk about God made us in His image that we could express Him and we could represent Him, right? That's corporate. So, what happened? We know that in time, God created a corporate man, but man fell. So this whole group here of men that were on the earth, normally we think about the fall and we think about man individually. Man fell and he became a sinner. He became unrighteous. He became ungodly. He became violent. He became all kinds of things. But actually, God looks at all of mankind. The corporate man. Corporate man became what the Bible says is called the old man. What is the old man? The old man is the fallen man. It's the corrupted, poisoned, spoiled, damaged man that was created by God for His corporate expression. Okay? So what did the Lord do? We know, we went through it. He became a man. He went to the cross. Do you know when He went to the cross, He not only died for your sins individually, but something very great happened at the cross. He redeemed us. He brought us back, not only to Himself individually, but you know, all these men here, if you read in the beginning in Genesis, like during the time of the flood, what happened? Men became violent one toward another. You have a culture full of fighting, full of enmity, full of discord between men. This is all part of the old man. So you know what the Bible says? The Lord on the cross, He slew the enmity. I don't know if you realize it much, but it's true. Today in the world, races are against others. Cultures are against others. There's fighting. There's hardly a place in the world where fighting is not going on. Okay? There's fighting going on everywhere. Even in the United States, you might be aware, oh, there's so much fighting going on. You just turn on the news. Oh, there's all kinds of fighting. What is it? It's enmity. We're with this group. You're with that group. We don't like your group. We don't like your philosophy. We don't like your culture. We don't like your way of life. We don't agree with your political point of view. We're against you. Okay? Fighting. All kinds of fighting among men. So the Lord, He had to come, not only die for our sins personally, He had to come slay all the enmity. Amen. Slay all the things that pit men against one another. So He slew and abolished in His flesh all the ordinances of the old fallen man. Then the Bible says, out of that, He created something called the new man. Okay? And the new man, what is the new man? It's, the Bible says the word church means those who were called out. Where are they called out? They're called out of here. They're redeemed. They're saved. And they're called out. Now they're over here. Okay. So He created in Himself one new man. In the new man, there's no discord. There's peace. There's love. There's no enmity. There's no division. There's no discord, fighting, arguing. Those are all part of the old man. Now, He created one new man. So it's not just that you as an individual man are now saved and you express Christ. That's true. But it's bigger than that. God created a corporate new man.
Amen.
Okay. So here, I'll tell you one story in the Bible. Do you know, right before the Lord went to the cross, there was a group of people who were around at that time. And Pilate, you know, Pilate, the Jews brought Jesus to Pilate to judge and condemn Him. And Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. I don't know if he realized this man was without sin, but he couldn't find any. Okay? So Pilate, he didn't want to do away with him. But you know what happened? This group of people who were around at that time, what did they shout? They shouted, crucify Him! Crucify Him! And it was not just one person. It was a whole group. Where were they? They were in the old man. They were in this old creation without God, dead. They were in offenses and sins, and they were in discord, and they were against God, and they were against Christ. Okay, now, they shouted, crucify Him, and the Lord said, through the hand of lawless men, He was put to death at the cross. Okay, now, you know what happened? Shortly after that, here comes Peter. He's one of the brothers, one of the members. He went on the day of Pentecost, and he stood up with some brothers around him, and he stood up and he told them, told all these people, you crucified the author of life. You crucified the one whom God destined for us. Okay? And you know what the Bible says? This is really interesting. The Bible says, these people here some of them were pricked in their heart. That means their conscience was like, I can't believe we did this. We did this. I was there. People might said, I was there. Baby, I was one of the ones who shouted. I belong to this group. Okay, this whole group here who was against God. Okay? Then eventually, a couple of them said, Peter, what should we do? What should we do? Do you know what Peter said? Peter said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And said, be baptized. Okay, do you know what baptism is? It means you bury your old life, your old association, your old belonging to this old man, the old group. And what do? You get out of here. You're called out. He said, repent and believe and be baptized and get transferred into the new man. And the Bible says that day, what was it, like 3,000? Was that right? We're saved. About 3,000. So what happened? They transferred out of the old man into the new man. Okay. How did they do it? They believed. And number two, they were baptized. Okay. And they got out of the old man into the new man. And what is the new man? The new man is the church. The expression of Christ. The church is the enlargement. It's more than just the original corporate man that God created. But we have the same desire to be together with others. Now in the new man, the Bible says, what race is the new man? There is no color. There's no nationality. We're the called out race.
Amen.
What race do you belong to? We belong to the called out race.
Amen.
Right? So the Bible says, there's no Jew, no Greek. There's no slave. There's no free man. Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
Okay? So what is in the new man? There's harmony. There's oneness.
Amen.
There's peace. There's life. There's enjoyment. There's a love for the brothers. So we need to be in this new man. So how do you get in the new man? Well, you can say, it's not hard. Just believe and be baptized. So I'd like to ask you, you know, David asked last night, have you all believed? Have you all received Christ? I think that answer maybe is yes. Okay, I'm not sure. Have you all been baptized? If you're not baptized, you're still over here. You know what Peter said? He didn't say, be saved from your sin. He said, be saved from this crooked, perverted generation. Okay? You got to get out of the old man. The old man is, oh, I hang around with those of my race, my culture, my people, my political persuasion, my age group, my people. What do you mean? You mean you're divisive. Right? That's the old man. You need to be saved from the crooked, perverted old man by believing and being baptized. So if you've never been baptized, I'd encourage you, be baptized.
Amen.
Okay, do you know when I received Christ when I was 18 years old in a dormitory? I believed. I received Christ. But I didn't get baptized. It wasn't until I came into the church life and the new man, I even heard about getting baptized. Okay? Then I heard about being baptized, and I got a real transfer into the new man, into the church life. So, be baptized. Okay? Then you can say, all right, I've been baptized. Okay? Well, I only have one other question. Have you given yourself to the Lord to be in the reality of the one new man? Okay? So my experience, I like to tell you a little story. Maybe I'll tell you more tomorrow. This particular conference messages ended up in a book, this little booklet here. And if you read the preface of this book, it said these messages were given in the spring of 1971. Guess what? I showed you a little history there. I got saved in 69. I spent about another year or so wandering around. But in the spring of 71, guess where I was? I was here. I was at this conference. I remember these messages. And I also remember sitting in a meeting. I was 19, sitting where you're sitting. And I saw young people with my own eyes standing up and saying, I'm for Christ, and I'm for the church. I'm going to give myself to the Lord to be in the church life, to be in the reality of the one new man. Amen. And I saw that meeting after meeting, and I was brand new. I just got there, and I'm sitting in the meeting, and I'm thinking, wow, this is something. And the Lord was moving in me and kept saying, what about you? What about you? What is your life for? What are you going to do? You're going to stay here, right? Or you're going to live here, okay? So, you know what we've emphasized this weekend, it's very important how you use your mouth. Okay, you could say, oh, I'm just going to tell the Lord secretly. That's okay, but it's much better. Say it out loud. Amen. Say it publicly.
Amen.
My life is for the Lord.
Amen.
I'm a man.
Amen.
Christ is the meaning of my life.
Amen.
And my life is for the church.
Amen.
I want to be part of the one new man. I give myself to the Lord for this. So it's good, besides believing and being baptized, there's one more word you could use. Is to consecrate. Consecrate means you make up your mind. What are you going to live for? Are you going to go on here? I've seen so many people just live here their whole life. And this is not a happy place. This is a place without God, a place full of contention, full of argument, fighting, division, discord, everything. No. We want to be in the church life. Church life is the most wonderful place to be. Practically, meeting with the saints, reading the Bible together, praying together, singing together, having fellowship together in oneness, in harmony, without discord. Okay? So, we need to consecrate. And the way to consecrate is just to stand on your own feet and tell the Lord and tell others in others' presence. You know, when people get married, you could say the husband and the wife, they already know. They've already told each other that they love one another. Then you say, why do they need to go through a wedding? It's good to have a wedding. You know why? Because a wedding is a declaration before God and before man.
Amen.
Right? If you don't want to tell somebody, if you don't want to tell others right before others, this is my wife, I love her. This is the one I'm going to marry and give my whole life to be with. This is my wife. If you're ashamed to do that, you better not get married. Okay? So, how about tonight? I just like to ask, open it up. Would any like to either? Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you want to give yourself to be baptized, to make the transfer. Or maybe you did believe and were baptized, but you not consecrated before. You don't know where you're at. Sometimes you're over here. You ever go out on a lake and there's two boats, rowboats sitting right next to each other, and you put one foot in one and you put the other foot in the other? What's going to happen? You're going to fall. Okay? So you need to put both feet in the new man. Maybe you've been wavering. It's time to consecrate.
Amen.
Give your heart, give yourself to the Lord for His purpose.
Amen.
To have the corporate one new man, His enlargement, His expression, His testimony.
Amen.
So the way to do that is to stand on your feet and speak it out before God and before man. So tonight, we won't call anybody by numbers, by group numbers or group teams or anything. You have to be bold. The Lord said, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, then he will not confess us before the Father. Right? So it's good to make a public confession, right? To tell the Lord and to tell before God and man what we are here for. Okay, so how about before we do that, let's have a little prayer with your neighbor, okay?